All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Truths We Hide podcast. And I'm really, I was reading her bio and I was really intrigued. So I can't wait for Jenny Lee to discuss everything from her book and the things that she teaches. But one of the things that I was reading was body-centered psychotherapy, spiritual psychology, yoga philosophy, meditation, all the things. And I've tried meditating myself, but I guess I'm just not, I don't have the hang of it. So I can't wait for you to share this because I think we really need it. We need it more now than ever versus just taking a pill. So please share with us your background, why you do this, and why we need it in our lives.
Sure. So my, as you mentioned a little bit, my background is in body-centered psychotherapies and spiritual psychology. So those are sort of two offshoots of traditional psychotherapy. And I decided to specialize in the field of yoga therapy because my practice and my studies of yoga philosophy also really blended with these other two areas of study. And the kind of the baseline of why I do what I do is that I feel that we are both spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional beings. And to be holistically well, we need to address all four aspects of our being. And sometimes in various forms of therapy, we miss one of those aspects. And so the body-centered psychotherapy really addresses the fact that our emotional experiences get lodged in the tissues of our body. And so there are ways of releasing stored traumas and stored experiences through a body practice such as yoga. Certainly, I mean, we're going to cover lots of ground here today, I'm sure, but you touched upon meditation, so I'll just insert that as well, that the practice of meditation is really foundational to a true yoga practice, something that not everyone recognizes if they've only been exposed to the physical aspect of yoga. But meditation is an opportunity for us to connect to those deeper aspects of ourself, the more spiritual aspects, the non-physical, if you will. So that's why I love that practice. And as you said, I think it is so necessary now. You know, we have a lot of physical challenges in our world at the moment with COVID and a lot of limitations physically. And so it's a really, really ripe time for people to connect to that spiritual self that is within each one of us. And for some people that is via religion, and for other people it's not. And so I really love working with people to help them come home to a sense of themselves in all of those different ways. So really understanding their emotional experience, being with it in a very compassionate way, addressing the physical symptoms and residue of their emotional experience and getting free from it so that they can live more joyful lives. So I guess I'll just kind of stop talking for right there for a moment and see where we go.
I love it because I've tried yoga and I need to try it again. I just can't, I'm very, how do you put it? I like CrossFit because it's like always moving. Yoga just stretches parts of you that you're like, are you kidding me right now? And so I get frustrated because I can't do a certain move or I can't get in the moment. So, but I can see how it can relax you once you get into it. Meditating, I play music when I go to sleep. I love it. I have to, because I just need some background noise. But I know that I have tried to do the deep breaths when I get really pissed off. And I try to focus on that, but I know there's more to it. So I guess I'm trying to ask, how can we get better at putting ourselves in that place? Because a lot of us, we react out of emotions just automatically, like speak before we think. Not good. Angry text, all these things. Like, how can we get better at doing that? And well, we obviously know why, but yeah, I guess I just need you to make me realize this is something that I need.
I get you. And I think you're not alone in that frustration, as you expressed, both with maybe physical postures and yoga that feel out of the domain of what your body is going to do today. And so, you know, I taught physical yoga classes for 20 years. I used to own a yoga studio in the Boston area. And I loved working with beginners because I feel it's so important to bring a beginner's mind to every practice. And not have an expectation on ourselves. So it's very much about present moment awareness and a lot of compassion. So there's not, you know, a good teacher is not going to put an expectation on their students that they put their foot behind their head or stand and go upside down in their first class. Like, it doesn't really matter actually what movements you're doing. It's more about just coming to the experience, staying really present in the moment, feeling what your body is feeling. Kind of sitting with yourself in a way that maybe you don't in your daily coming and going kind of busy life. And so, you know, and then you mentioned about emotional reactivity. And I think that's a huge problem for a lot of people. We do tend to react rather than respond with more consciousness. And it's because our emotions are just heightened and they're not fully processed. And so that creating a pause, if you think of meditation more like just a pause, and it doesn't have to be lengthy, it doesn't have to be formal, it doesn't have to have great esoteric meaning around it. It may for some, and it may someday, but like to begin, it's just a pause. Like a pause to take those deep breaths so that you don't say something or text someone that's something that you're going to regret. Like, so as we build in these pauses on a daily basis, you know, creating a habit of pausing for even a couple minutes, then we're more likely in those moments when we are feeling angry or afraid or just overwhelmed to go back to that habit of like, okay, let me just center myself again before I act here. And so it's about proactively creating the pause.
So how have you ever worked with somebody who's been through some type of trauma or who has that problem getting stuff out of their head? Because my mind races all day, every day. Even when I go to sleep, I have to just like start telling myself, okay, stop thinking about that. You could do it tomorrow, or I'll try to pray about it, or whatever. It's so hard to just be calm.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And we live in a culture of doing, right? So it's just the, sort of this constant doing. We're constantly bombarded by information and technology and news and social media. And there's this generation of doing. And so it does create that busy, busy mind that you're describing that is hard to turn off at night. You know, just because it's 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, it doesn't just stop. So, you know, practices like having an affirmation that is meaningful to you, such as, I breathe in peace, I breathe out peace, something like that. Or I breathe in peace, I breathe out stress. So it can just be something simple, whatever kind of holds the intention that you're going for in your life, and start to repeat that. Let that become the thought that goes over and over and over in the mind, because then you're anchoring yourself into what yogis would call your resolve. And resolve is really like this combination of intention and willpower and self-discipline. And so the things that we need to do to manage our minds. So our minds are not out of our control. There is a higher mind. There's that super consciousness, that greater awareness that we can draw upon to manage the thinking mind. And the thinking mind is important. It's an important tool. But if it's not brought into check and used with intention, then it can get a little out of control.
Yeah. So what would you tell somebody who is like, I cannot do yoga. I don't even know if I want to try it. What would you tell them? Because it's obvious that it does wonders for people. I've met so many of my friends are telling me now that they've been doing yoga for years. I'm like, I never knew.
Yoga's very interesting. So in the United States, in the last 20 years, we've really seen this explosion of yoga classes. And so they really run the gamut from very relaxing, restorative, kind of deep stretching, slow practices to the very vigorous power vinyasa, you know, crazy postures, upside down, all kinds of strengthening. So there, firstly, what I would tell someone is there is a type of yoga for you, no matter what your age, no matter what your fitness level, no matter what your body type, you just need to find a class or a teacher who recognizes where you are and what your needs are right now. And so basically yoga is a practice of moving energy, just like Tai Chi, Qigong, just like acupuncture, all of these other things that, you know, we recognize that as human beings, we are made up of energy. And so these are practices that help us to direct energy with more intention. So it's not just about getting really tight abs and a cute butt. It's about learning to direct your life force energy with greater consciousness and intention. And that translates into feeling happier, feeling more peaceful, feeling better in your body, feeling more open and available to life. So it's just really about starting where you are, taking it at your own pace, not feeling expectations, not putting expectations on yourself that, you know, you do something that somebody else you see on Instagram does or whatever.
So what should we be looking for, since there are so many different types of yoga out there and the studios and teachers? And how do we know what to look for?
Well, I mean, some of it is just, you know, that inner sense of, oh, that looks kind of interesting, or that feels good to me. I think I could do that. Or I like that teacher's style. You know, we want to feel kind of that resonance with the person that we're going to be listening to for an hour. I know some people's voices just agitate me, so I cannot listen to that person. Other people just soothe me. So right now, with everything being on Zoom, there are just so many teachers putting up online classes. I personally don't do online yoga classes, but I do other online workshops and things. So coaching sessions and such, but yeah, I think it's just kind of what resonates, what feels good for you, but try different things. And if you feel in any way uncomfortable, not your thing, you know, not your teacher, but try a different style or try a different person. Cause I really do feel like there is a yoga for everyone. And there's a saying, and I love it. It's if you can breathe, you can do yoga, because ultimately it comes down to the breath and about breathing deeply and consciously. And that helps to reset the whole parasympathetic nervous system, which is, you know, what regulates our cortisol and our fight or flight response. And so even just a class that focuses on the breath is super good.
That is true. Sometimes we need to learn how to breathe.
Yeah.
I have such a bad habit when I'm doing some type of move that I won't breathe. And they tell me, you need to breathe, Annette. You need to breathe, because I'm like trying to do something and exhale, inhale. It's not that easy. Yeah. Have you?
Yeah. So on that note, I'll just say one more thing about breathing. I heard a great thing yesterday about the difference between fear and excitement is all about the breath. So when we're afraid, we stop breathing and we contract and all the muscles in the body get tense and the system just goes into shutdown. Excitement is in some ways the same, but we just are breathing. We're breathing deeply, fully, more rapidly. So we can shift from fear to more excitement just by changing our breathing. So inviting deeper breath into those moments when you are feeling constricted or scared or shut down can start to move you back into a state of life where you're, again, more available and excited about the moment. Like, what does this hold for me? And what can I learn from this? And how, where do I go from here? Kind of that happier expectation.
Yeah. What did you want to be when you were younger?
Oh, that's such a sweet question. I've never been asked that question. And you know why that's such a sweet question, Annette, is because I do believe that as children, we have a sort of knowing of what we're here for. And I love that because I work with a lot of people on purpose and kind of like their soul's direction. And, so when I was little, I would write these little stories about my cat. I was an only child and I spent a lot of time alone with my cat. So, and I love to write and I love to read. And so I would write stories. And then I created a fan club for the cat. And I would write fan notes to the cat. But all this to say, I've never told anybody this. It's hilarious that I'm doing it on, you know, social media, whatever. But but I think what that points to that's happening in my life now is I am an author of 3 books. I love the process of writing. I love the process of sharing stories and learning about people's stories. So it's also why I do the coaching work that I do, because I really love learning about people's stories and being their fans. I'm my clients' greatest fans because I want to lift them up. I want them to feel free and happy in the way that I have learned to feel after many, many years of suffering from depression and going through a lot of pain and a lot of grief and a lot of loss and not wanting to get out of bed and feeling like crap about life. And it's really been through these practices that we've been talking about today, both the physical yoga, meditation, my spiritual studies, that I have found a great, much greater sense of happiness and purpose in life. And that's what I love helping others with.
Oh, I like that.
Hopefully my cat found some, you know, measure of happiness from it, the fan letters I wrote. But
when you were going through your depression, when did you find what you needed? Like, how did you know that this was going to be it? And did you try other things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm sure you have, I don't know if you've experienced depression or I'm sure you've talked to other people, but it's like, you know, you're in a dark tunnel. And when you're not in total collapse, it's like groping around in the dark, like anything. And so I did experiment with lots of different things in terms of my, as I said, I've always been a big reader. So for me, a lot of the path out was through reading. So I read about Buddhism and shamanism, and I come from a Christian background. And so I read the Bible cover to cover, and then I got into yoga philosophy. And so it has definitely been an exploration of many different sort of traditions. But what's interesting in, and it was yoga, it was the physical practice of yoga that really started to break me out of the depression that had its grip on me at a time about 20 years ago now. And the movement combined with the breath, combined with the self-reflection, was kind of the magic sauce, you know, the perfect combination of things that kind of let me start to see there is light out there. I just have to keep moving towards it. I just have to keep claiming it for myself. A big realization for me was if it's possible for anyone else, then it is possible for me too. And I think that is a belief that we can get trapped in. I know I was trapped in it for a long time, thinking, oh, well, you know, that happy person over there, that's, I'll never have that. And that's not possible for me. But really, that's not true. If something is possible for any human, it is possible for us. Oh, it takes work, and it's a journey, yeah. But it is possible.
No, for sure. No, I appreciate you saying that, because depression is definitely something that I've been living with for a long time, and you do get into that dark hole. Like, yeah. There's nothing that can bring you out of it, and it's just very, very sad. So
I think talking about it too is really important. So, you know, bless you for doing this podcast and talking to people who are having this experience and sharing your experience, because it is important that we acknowledge it to one another and ask for help. Mm-hmm. So important, because we can just get really locked up in our own dark thinking and then not reach out. And then we do have to reach out for the hands of others who have been through it. And I would say the flip side of that coin is recognize that by helping others, we actually start feeling better ourselves. And for me, one of the greatest helps out of depression, and I'll trace it back to when I started my yoga studio, I started my yoga studio because I needed to have an income. I was recently divorced and I wanted to eat more than tuna fish out of a can. But so there was that. But then what I found in teaching was that I was connecting with people. I was helping people, and I was sharing what I was going through and offering them the same tools that I was finding effective. And so it was in that helping of others that I also started feeling better. So we have to ask for help, and we also have to offer help.
Yeah, no, that's it's an incredible feeling, right? I know that once I started talking about it and people tell me that it helped them by me talking about it, I was like, wow, this is just like the synergy is, it was so magical, because who knew, you know, that saying it out loud was going to help somebody else. And then by them saying it to you, it's just like this friendship, that's this bond that's formed by sharing your secrets.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something I want to kind of play off of that, which is we do bond through our shared experiences of challenge. And we can also bond through our shared experiences of success. And I think this is something kind of a missing piece. I know I've actually lost friendships as I got happier, and that other person, like, I wasn't connecting as much in the realm of pain with them. It's almost like they didn't know how to relate. But I am really calling in for myself right now, people who can recognize the pain of human experience, but who are also claiming joy and success and freedom for themselves. Like, I don't think we're meant to live in pain constantly. I believe we're meant to use it to get to the happy place. And so let's be buddies in that too, and celebrate each other there.
No, you're so right. You're so right. And as you're saying that, the first thing that pops in my head is something that I heard 2 years ago, and it was your mess is your message. And so I do that. I've been using my mess as a positive message to other people, because we can make it through. There is hope. So regardless of how, you know, what direction we go in, there's always help. So that's really great that you found that.
Yeah. I love that you say hope. Hope is so important right now. I think a lot of people are pretty weary from the pandemic and the political scene, all of that. And I know a lot of people I'm talking with in my coaching calls are feeling an extreme sense of exhaustion. And we've got to hold on to hope. The human condition is ultimately super resilient. We have come through even worse things than what we're in now, and we've got to believe and keep that hope alive, for sure. And those of us who are feeling stronger in this moment have got to hold the hope for all of those who are feeling not so strong. And so, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely a crazy time, but we need to have hope. We need to keep sharing that, because we can't give up. But so your coaching calls, what do they consist of? What are you helping people through right now?
Yeah, so most of my clients do kind of fall into the categories of people going through transitions of grief, maybe a recent loss, career change, unclarity, maybe they're needing to move out of a relationship that's dysfunctional, maybe they're going through depression or experiencing anxiety. Those are the types of things that I typically counsel on. Although that being said, you know, lots of different issues have come up. I don't specialize in addiction. I don't specialize in PTSD per se. Mm-hmm. Certainly I've had experience with clients who have had that and I can work with it to a degree, but sometimes people need a little bit more specialization. As I mentioned at the beginning, I really like to help people look at all four quadrants of their experience. So how are they feeling physically? What can we do to bring more balance into your physical body? What are the emotional experiences that might not have been fully processed? And how can we work with tools like breath work to move those emotions through so you don't feel so hair trigger, you know, reactive? And then what is your spiritual connection to something greater than yourself? And if that comes from a religious background, but maybe that's not working for you anymore, how can you recalibrate yourself? Because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, in my opinion. So how can we honor that and make it meaningful for you, not with anybody else's paradigm put on you? So I love helping people work through those type of challenges. And that's what I write about too. So the book that came out most recently this September is called Spark Change. And it was my attempt to kind of quantify in a book form what I do with clients in terms of asking questions that get them to start thinking differently. So a lot of times when we feel stuck or depressed, we've gotten into a track of thinking where we're just seeing things one way. And I find that the questions that I have intuitively and spontaneously asked clients over the years in our coaching sessions are the things that help them kind of, I mean, people often will say, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way. Or, oh my gosh, that just makes me think I want to go this direction. And so they have these kind of aha moments where the questions that I've asked have shifted something. And so that's in Spark Change, this book that came out in September. It's a book of questions with a bit of guidance after each question. And it's really meant to have people have these tools in their own hands, in their own homes to work through on their own, whether they are too shy to come into coaching or don't have the financial resources for that. That's, you know, a $20 investment in a book that has 108 questions that'll basically take you through the process of change in any regard. So whatever you might feel like need some change in your life, this book is meant to help you kind of move towards it in a positive way.
I love that. That's really great. So is a book on Amazon or?
It's on Amazon. Yep. It's on Amazon. It's at all major booksellers. So you can Google Spark Change and my name, Jenny Lee. My website, which I don't know if you'll put in the show notes, but it's my name, Jenny Lee, yogatherapy.com, has a free excerpt of the book and a whole bunch of other freebies. There's a free guided meditation on there that people can download. There are free guides for yoga teachers or coaches or book clubs. So lots of things on the website that you can have for free. I think I have the first chapter of the book on there for free as an excerpt. So JennyLeeYogaTherapy.com is where they can find me if they're interested in asking any questions and certainly get some freebies on the book.
That's wonderful. What a beautiful thing. I really appreciate you talking about this because right now I'm feeling a little bit peaceful.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Are you? So you're breathing.
I'm breathing. I'm actually breathing.
That's awesome.
And I am... I do believe, so I have faith. I just, you know, over my life, I've lost my way a couple times, few times, and I've come back now that I'm older and I'm like, okay, I need to like open up my eyes. So this type of thing is, that's, you know, I need that. And I think the listeners are going to probably realize that they need it too. So I'm really thankful that you were able to share this, because we need more peace in our life, more ways to relax, more ways to not be so tense, because I get really tense and then I get migraines and then I don't sleep well, and then, you know, everything else that comes with it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the word, we need more ways to relax. And I think that is so, so important. And I would say that's a great place to start if people are looking into yoga classes. And even if it's not yoga, anything that they want to look into that would help them relax, that in and of itself starts to address root cause issues immediately. To be able to relax our bodies, and then to be able to relax our minds, helps on every level. It helps us think clearer. It helps us sleep better. It helps us have better communication. It helps us not trigger things like migraines. It helps us be more productive in our work, you know, just to relax. And so I have a practice throughout my day, and this might be something just to share for our listeners, is throughout my work day, about every hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on what's going on, I try to take a short break. And I lay down. I lay flat on my back on the ground. And I put my arms up in yoga, this is called cactus. So I'm laying flat on my back and I'm just opening up the heart center. I'm relaxing the shoulders back to the ground, because, you know, we're all kind of forward with our computer stuff. And I just lay there and I can feel, I hold so much tension up in my neck and shoulders. And when I lay it down flat like that, I can just feel all the tension starting to melt into the floor. And I just take that opportunity to take some really deep breaths, to consciously let go of whatever is stressing me out in the moment. And then I come back and I get back to whatever work, but about every 1.5 to 2 hours, just like 5 minutes on the ground. It's great.
That's important, because I've been trying to get up. I could sit here for 8 hours and didn't eat. I mean, I have water, but then that's it. So I have to remind myself that, okay, it's been an hour. It's been two. Get up, at least walk around the house. Do something, because it could get too, you just get stiff. You get stiff, yeah. And you're mentally and physically exhausted. And yeah, it's just not normal. So,
but it's not normal to be sitting in front of a Zoom call for 8 hours a day.
It's not, but I'm going to practice laying down now.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Does so. Yeah, no, thank you so much. And what do you expect to see in the next few years? What do you want to do? Do you have any goals, plans?
I have a book proposal for my fourth book going out shortly to publishers. I'm excited for that. I just want to keep writing and sharing the teachings that have been meaningful in my life, that I know have helped me. And I just want to keep helping people feel better. I love my clients. I love the coaching work that I do. So I just would love to see that expand and see my books get into more hands. And honestly, that and traveling again. I can't wait to get on an airplane and go somewhere.
Right? Yes. Somewhere. Yeah, that's a whole other topic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wish you all the best with that book. I'm excited. So you have to keep me updated when it's out again, or when
I will. And I'll hope you'll find a copy of Spark Change. I think you'll really like it, Annette.
Sorry. Yes. I wrote it down and I'm going to put that in the notes, and I'm excited. Thank you so much for being on here. I learned a lot.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for listening to the True Sweet High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.